Test 1, 2, that sounds good to me. Bye.
Hi.
Hello.
The sensitive nature of the topics discussed on this program, it is not suitable for children, so we strongly advise that children not be within listening range of this program. Also, please be advised that while we are counselors, what we're doing here tonight is not counseling, and if you have a need, we strongly advise that you seek professional help. The Affair Recovery Center is a community of counseling professionals and couples who have experienced the abundant blessing of reconciliation and renewal. We are dedicated to the restoration of marriages crippled by infidelity. Our mission is to offer hope, support, and recovery for couples and individuals who have suffered the pain as a result of infidelity, betrayal, or sexual addiction. We truly believe there's nothing the nearness of God cannot heal. And welcome to Affair Recovery Radio tonight, radio to the power of God. This evening, in particular, it is not going to be appropriate for children, so please, for heaven's sake, keep your kids away from the radio. We're going to be talking about SEX, for those of you who have not gotten the kids away yet. But we really believe that this is, obviously, when it comes to affairs, one of the primary issues. So we'd like to talk a little bit about sex. And remember, this is a call-in program, and tonight you get to ask the experts. Now, our primary expert, Mr. John Haney. Dr. John Haney is here.
Hey there.
So, don't forget the doctor part.
Yeah, that's the doctor part here. And me and Leslie will just chime in for fun, or stay out of the way, stay out of John's way, or something like that. But so tonight we will be talking about sex. You can call us at 365-3390. That's area code 512-365-3390. Or you can also call us at 888-5-ARC-EMS. That's 888-5-ARC-EMS. So, Leslie, what are we going to be talking about tonight?
Well, tonight we're going to start off with some of the sexual myths that a lot of us believe, and there are a lot more out there, so we're not going to go on and on. But just to reemphasize, tonight we are talking about sex, and we are going to be using correct medical terms, so don't want you guys to be shocked as you listen to us. But the first sexual myth that we have down is a great sexual relationship is spontaneous and does not have to be worked on or talked about. The second sexual myth, a great sexual partner can read your mind and knows what you want. Number three, most good marriages never have sexual problems. Myth number four, men want sex, women don't. Myth number five, we have become more comfortable with our sexuality since the sexual revolution. That's just not true. We hear about it, but we don't talk about it well. Myth number six, if you give your spouse enough sex, you can guarantee their fidelity. And for those of you listening tonight, I know a lot of you know that that's not true, but you still may be believing it a little bit. Myth number seven, men have to have sex. Myth number eight, if a man does not reach an orgasm within 7 minutes, they will be damaged. Myth number nine, women aren't supposed to enjoy sex. Myth number 10, the purpose of sex is orgasm. Myth number 11, the harder the body, the better the sex. And myth number 12, that sexual potential is related to age. The younger you are, the better the sex, and that's not true. Statistically, sex gets better with age in relationship over time.
Yeah, and I mean, one of the things I'm thinking about listening to that list is just how much pop culture has sort of influenced our ideas on all of that. You know, the idea that two people can just spontaneously come together and have the greatest sex of their lives, and that the hard bodies are best for sex, and the younger the better, and really that's just not backed up by any documentable stuff.
Well, and just kind of adding on to that, a lot of people feel like the goal of a good sexual relationship is orgasm. And tonight, as we talk, we're going to present a different vision than that. But to get us started off tonight, John, what is one of the most common sexual problems that you see day to day?
Well, I guess if had to sort of put the single greatest one, I would have to say would be what we call desire disorders, which are really affect someone's wanting to have sex. You know, sometimes we make the distinction between what are called desire disorders and what we call arousal disorders. A desire disorder is, you know, kind of deals with the will to have sex. An arousal disorder actually deals more with the ability to have sex, kind of problems with the plumbing, if you will. You know, some of the things that a lot of the products on the market, which we'll probably talk about a little bit more later, have come around to address. But a lot of times, and you know, you all know that we deal with a lot of marriages that have been rocked by infidelity and where there's been a tremendous falling off in a sexual relationship because either the husband and wife is involved with something on the side. But desire disorders, you know, can have many, many different sort of causes to them. But most marriages, I think it's probably safe to say, and you guys can chime in on this if you want, but it just seems like there a lot of marriages will go through phases where sometimes sex doesn't seem as appealing as it has in other times of the marriage.
Well, and one thing that I see quite a lot are women who go to Bible studies or read books or listen to sermons and feel like in order to be a good wife, they must have sex with their husbands a certain number of times a week. And so they get to the point where they're just checking it off the list as something else to do and never consider kind of the mutual sexual satisfaction that they could be enjoying in their marriage.
Oh, absolutely. I think when we're talking about desire disorders, that's one of the biggest causes for women when sex just becomes sort of an obligation or something that they feel like they have to do. You know, it goes back to sort of one of your myths, I believe, was that women aren't supposed to enjoy sex. And I think a lot of women actually go in or actually sort of end up with that expectation and they just sort of go through the motions for their husbands. And in my experience, doing that over time will just lead to, if nothing else, a real sense of resentment for their husband. It ceases being something of, you know, that really brings joy and brings unity within a couple. It really just becomes a hassle when you have that kind of attitude towards it.
Well, and for whatever reason, a lot of times little girls in particular who are growing up in church are getting the message that sex is bad. And so then suddenly they get married and they still kind of have a lot of the messages in their head that they're carrying around and they don't know what to do with it.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I've had clients who've talked about, you know, some of their pre-marriage counseling just says, you know, where an older woman within the church will say, well, you know, honey, this is something you just have to kind of endure and deal with it in the marriage. You know, it's just part of marriage. To get the good stuff out of marriage, you have to sort of deal and have to suffer through the sex part of it. And that's not how it was designed at all, obviously.
Yeah, because the other thing that I run across, I think a lot of times women who have desire disorders are married to men who feel like their wives are intentionally withholding sex. And so great miscommunication begins to happen within the couple, and the sexual relationship kind of tends to trickle into every other aspect of the relationship and kind of cause a breakdown. So what would you recommend for the person? And men have desire disorders also, so don't get the mistaken idea that it's just women.
Yeah, and actually before kind of answering that question, I think I want to point out too that you know, sometimes people assume, you know, especially given what we do with so many cases of infidelity, you know, if a husband has lost his interest in sex, he must be doing something on the side. That's not always the case. Sometimes it's just the opposite. I know, you know, Rick's talked before about, you know, a lot of his clients who actually, the more they're involved with an affair partner, the more amorous they are at home. And so you really can't make any kind of snap judgments on that. But in terms of treatment, you know, that's don't have a real simple answer for that. You know, really recommend if there is a breakdown in desire within a marriage, that, you know, there's all sorts of potential causes to that. You know, there's certainly the physiological causes that can kind of get in the way. You know, and some of that can kind of bleed more over into the arousal disorders. But you know, if you're having painful intercourse or something like that, that can certainly affect somebody's desire. You know, but there's also emotional reasons. If sex doesn't feel safe, and that's actually a huge one for women, which we may talk about a little bit more. You know, men tend to not have to have that sense of emotional safety to be able to engage in sex, whereas women do. You know, so emotional reasons can really get in the way, but a lot of relational reasons, a lot of what we talk about, you know, is if there's any kind of resentment in the marriage, if there's a power differential in the sex life between the couple, all those things can get in the way and affect desire.
Well, and I guess one of the things that popped into my head as you were talking is that a lot of times it seems like women will tell themselves over and over, I have to have sex, I have to have sex, I have to have sex. And instead of making sex more desirable, the dread, the anxiety begins to grow. And most women, in order to be sexually engaged with their husbands, need to feel loved. And if they don't feel like the communication's good and the emotional connection's not good, they begin to protect themselves in various ways. And a lot of times they get to the point where any show of affection feels to them like a demand for sex. And so I guess a lot of times when I see couples and I'm working with them, I think it really, the emotional affection has to be separated from a demand for sex. And a lot of times their husbands don't understand that that's what's going on with them. So even a hug can make a woman feel like, oh my gosh, he wants sex.
Oh, I agree. And in fact, in a lot of, you know, when we sometimes do sexual retraining, I mean, sometimes that's one of the first things we'll give as an assignment, is just to practice non-threatening physical touch, you know, that you can hold hands, that you can hug without the expectation that it has to go any further. Because for a lot of women, even simple acts like that don't feel safe anymore, because it is always seen as an initiation.
And for those men out there who may be feeling like, oh my gosh, I'm like a woman, we have a lot of male clients who fall into these categories, so don't feel alone.
Are you talking to me?
No, you have other issues.
Okay, well, I'll keep my other issues. I just want to remind you guys, this is a call-in program, and this is a great opportunity. You can call in and ask a question for one of your friends, and say, you know, I have this friend, and he's got this particular problem with premature ejaculation, and we're just wondering what you might do about that. Or,
well, and you can also call in, and the person that answers the phone can take down your question. You do have the option of not being on the air.
In fact, if you really want to, you can call in. You could actually email us right now at rick@hope-now.com.
You don't even have to use your real name if you don't.
You can lie about your name. rick@hope-now.com. But, you know, this is a rare opportunity. If you just really want to have, this is our version of Dr. Ruth. So if you have any questions, feel free. Dr. Ruth, that'll be Dr. John now, I guess, right?
Because the truth is, the majority of people have some sort of sexual issue at some time in their life and sometime within their marriage. So it's very, very common, but people don't talk about it very much, and so they feel very alone, isolated, and like something's really wrong with them. So please feel free to call in.
No, I think that's actually, in terms of really trying to deal with some of this, I mean, I think one of the most important things is being able to take the shame out of it. I mean, I think sometimes we forget that sexuality was part of God's design for us, and it's a very, very normal, healthy, beautiful thing. But I think sometimes we've wrapped so much taboo around it, and we've got so much shame sort of invested in it. And unfortunately, I think sometimes, you know, even religiously with good intentions, we sort of add to that shame rather than decrease it. But if we can, you know, sort of learn to own our sexuality and take the shame out of it, it can really, you know, go a great, great way to making it much more enjoyable for us. But yeah, that said, I know it's still hard to call up and put your sex life out on the airwaves.
But feel free to.
I think it'd be a great idea, because we'd actually like this to be an entertaining program tonight, and there's nothing better
than
sex. Well,
and educational.
That's right. Well, education's good, but I'd like it to also be entertaining. Okay, well, I guess we're pushing up against a break at this point. So thank you. You can call us at 365-9930. That's 365-9930. Or, again, 888-5-ARC-EMS. That's 888-5-ARC-EMS. Thanks, guys.
Does your life seem void of meaning? Do you struggle with depression? Is marriage not turning out as expected? Are you disappointed in the intimacy you share? Has an unwanted behavior taken your life hostage? Do uncontrollable feelings flood uninvited into your life? If so, we can help. Crossroads Counseling is a group of highly trained mental health professionals dedicated to Jesus. Crossroads Counseling is unique in its team approach. Each member has developed a specialty in order to complement their overall goal of helping each person they serve experience the freedom and abundant life afforded through the life of Christ. Give us a call, 512-346-9299. That's 512-346-9299. Or visit our website at crossroads-counseling.net. There is hope and healing. We believe there's nothing the nearness of God cannot heal.
This is Jack Graham of PowerPoint Ministries. Please join me each weekday at 1 p.m. for PowerPoint, right here on The Word 99.3 and 98.5, teaching and talk for Austin and Central Texas.
Welcome back to Affair Recovery Radio. And during the break, we had one of our most honored desk calls, Wayne from Des Moines, Iowa. I don't know where Wayne's from, actually. But Wayne, you have a question for us here on the radio. What question do you have for us?
Hi, this is Wayne.
Hey, hey Wayne.
Thanks for calling.
How you doing?
We're doing great.
So my wife and I, I'm a recovering sex addict. Uh-huh. And the wife and I started listening to you guys February or March and found you guys really, really helpful.
I'm so glad to hear that, Wayne. That's certainly our goal.
Hey, Wayne, I'm a recovering sex addict, too.
Yeah, and because you guys are, it's a little easier to talk to you, and I understand. I'm sorry for your addiction, as I'm sure you're sorry for mine.
You bet.
Indeed.
So, you know, I know this is not a therapy session, but the wife and I have been married 18 years, and in November, on our 16th wedding anniversary, she found out that I had been having a 9-year relationship with another woman, and then as things developed, she found out that I've been having affairs with other women as well as other relationships outside of marriage. And she was gracious enough to start learning about my problem. And as we discovered, I was a sexual addict and was acting out in a lot of ways, including self performance.
Absolutely.
And so, as you know, through our 18 years of marriage, I've always had kind of a trouble. It's funny that you guys mentioned premature ejaculation, because I have kind of the opposite problem in that I have been able to achieve orgasm naturally, but typically it takes manual. And I know it's always been a problem in our marriage that I've always had to face that, and she has had to face it as well. So the question is inside our marriage, and I can't do it naturally, I'm working on that, and she thinks it's a psychological problem, and we're working on my psychology of it, and we're working through my addiction through Dr. Doug Weiss, and you guys are helping a lot as well. And we've been to counseling, marriage, and primary care counselor as well, which we wish we were back there so we could come to you guys. We, in fact, wanted to go on to one of your EMS deals, but we haven't really had a chance to do it yet.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, we do want to attend one, though. Anyway, so back to the question, what is your opinion about her having to do that?
Well, I didn't quite hear the question. I think the phone call kind of crackled out on us, but...
So what, yeah, because it kind of faded out just a second there, Wayne, when you were saying...
Well, maybe
what
because I got quieter, because it's not something I'm super proud of.
Oh, sure, I'm sorry to make you...
I wasn't taking out very clearly, but throughout our marriage, I have had the opposite of premature ejaculation.
But that's called delayed ejaculation.
Achieving that during natural sex, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so she typically has to do that manually for me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been kind of a problem in our marriage. And I always have always told her, because I feel I'm a little insensitive there because I wasn't circumcised.
I see.
Okay.
So the question is it psychological? Is it physiological? Is it both? Or have you ever heard of that before?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, really, to be able to answer that question, I think we'd probably have to sit down together and really kind of explore where a lot of that's coming from. But that's actually, I mean, yeah, that is a pretty common thing. And I always want to look at sort of the anxiety issue in there and everything. And I guess I would have to ask offhand, too, are you taking any antidepressants, any SSRIs of any kind right now?
You know, I haven't been. In fact, my wife mentioned to me that she thought I was depressed, and we were listening to a Dr. Doug Weiss, I think, or maybe on Blazing Grace, or maybe it was you guys about depression, and whether I needed to go maybe seek it out medically. And I decided that I was going to quit wallowing in my self-pity and my shame and my guilt.
Good for you.
Pull up my bootstraps and be a man and get through my depression and just start working on my issues. And since I made that kind of mental leap, I have felt a lot better, and I don't think I'm depressed now.
Okay, well, the reason I was asking, because a lot of our men who are on those drugs actually experience those same kinds of problems, and they can have a really difficult time.
Also, blood pressure medications can do the same thing.
Yeah, I don't do those either.
Okay.
It's a horse, darn it.
but absolutely, you know, and it certainly don't want you to have to air this over the airwaves here, but, you know, sometimes I like to look at sort of what are the thoughts that are going through your head while you're in the middle of the act, because sometimes with a lot of guys, the old shame will start flooding back, and or some of the old intrusive images or things like that. It could be any number of things, but it can really get you out of the moment and sort of that sort of moment of real connection of the two flesh becoming one, you know, a sort of a rogue thought or a rogue insecurity or some old shame creeping back into it can absolutely destroy the mood at that time.
Well, and a lot of times it's performance pressure.
And that's true. I have felt performance pressure in my younger years, in my 20s, in my first marriage. I had performance issues that if I didn't do this, I was then yelled at. And so I did face that a lot, and I thought I got through that, but my wife does not put me under pressure, but maybe it's for my past. And
absolutely.
I've cleaned up my thought life. I'm walking on a road with Christ and God.
Congratulations.
Yeah, and it's been tough. I mean, those images when you're hooked on that kind of stuff, pornography and stuff, it becomes an objectivity and two-dimensional and plastic, and it turns women into absolutely into just objects that are not real. And so the fantasy life is what you usually get into. And then our counselor said, well, what do you think pornography is made for? Masturbation. And I didn't even give that a second thought during all that, but that's probably what it really is.
It's funny how that works.
I have been cleaning up my thought life, and I've been doing really, really hard and really, really good work. And I've got it pretty clean. Once in a while, I get an image, and I use the rubber band method to snap and to get over that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, and that, you know, those old shame messages, Wayne, can run really, really deep. And you know, I would sure like to see you get freed from that, where those, you know, if there are messages from your old wife, and boy, I'm really sorry that happened. That was never, you know, shouldn't be in a part of anybody's sex life and marriage, but unfortunately, you know, you're not alone in that category either. There are a lot of, you know, men and women who are really sort of emotionally abusive with their spouses when it comes to sexuality.
And Wayne, something I think I would add in my work, I've worked with people who are paraplegics, who have tremendous physiological handicaps when it comes to being able to be sexual, and some of those couples have the best sex lives I know. And I think part of what's happened is these couples have decided that really it's about a connection of souls. It's a union of spirits.
Right, and, I get that.
And they've taken what they've got, and they've worked with that. And I think that we have to understand that we are under mercy and we're under grace. And I think that be satisfied with, I mean, I'm not saying be content, but be able to be satisfied and accept where you're at and just be able to love each other.
There you go.
Because God can sit there and begin to heal the two of you. If you sit there and say, how we are right now is unacceptable.
Right.
Man, I'll tell you, that will mess you up. But you and your wife should be rejoicing and celebrating, because from our vantage point, every time the two of you come together, it's about a renewal of vows.
Right.
It's about the two of you just being able to share a moment together where you join and become one. And regardless of how that is, you know, even if she has to help you out certain ways, I mean, certainly there are women through history and men through history that it hasn't quite worked like other people. They walk with a limp. But you know what? Jesus came for people with a limp. And let that be sufficient.
Yeah, and I mean, I agree. I think sometimes, you know, there is no optimal sort of time for sex. In fact, in the secular world, I mean, there a lot of people in sort of the sex therapy game are really trying to pursue what you've got right now. There's a lot of stuff on tantric sex and things like that about trying to prolong it. And I agree with Rick. You just turn it into your gift, or let God sort of do that. And you know, again, I would really want to see you be able to clean up any sort of residual emotional baggage that's still there, but really enjoy it as long as your wife's not experiencing any discomfort with it.
Absolutely. And remind yourself who your wife really is. and remind yourself who you really are, because both of you are pure. You have Christ within you, and Christ can heal the old baggage that you're carrying around. And don't get into your wife's head.
You know, it's funny because I wasn't a child of God up until late December. And he started talking to me. In fact, he started beating me about the head. And I finally woke up, and I was raised in a Christian home. And through my wife's eyes, I have reconnected with God. And I find it so peaceful and so encouraging to actually have somebody standing beside me instead of feeling so isolated and alone my whole life. It's just an incredible feeling. And, you know, any men out there that's hooked on pornography or magazines or whatever, I also urge them to take a look inside. And you, when you do that, you're so isolated and alone and so plastic and so objected, objectified maybe is the right word. Or
right.
I'm not sure, but it does. It just isolates you, and it's horrible. And I feel so free, and I intend to stay here.
Oh, I'm so glad you share that, because that is such the lie of pornography. It's just that, I mean, what sort of secular society tells us is liberation and freedom in our sex lives is really keeps us on the surface of it. I mean, one of the things that really sort of gets me boiled up a little bit is when people say that, you know, Christians don't understand sex, they can't enjoy sex and everything. I think, you know, Christians who are doing it right can enjoy sex at a level far deeper than sort of the secular norm that's out there. And some of the superficial skating on the surface stuff that come along with porn or just sort of abusing your sexuality, I mean, I think that is what really is bad sex and sort of superficial sex.
Well, and
it's taken me 40 years to figure that part out.
Well, it takes us all a while sometimes.
Well, and don't give yourself a hard time that it took you 40 years. You're ahead of the curve. Compared to, compared to a lot of people, you are.
No, I think kind of going back to Leslie's myths, I mean, a lot of people go in with the expectation that even if it's for the first time on their wedding night, that sex is going to be this instant bliss and it's going to be just incredible. I mean, sex is like fine wine. It gets better with age. I mean, I think you have to really learn each other. You have to kind of learn yourself. You have to kind of let go of a lot of your emotional stuff. And, you know, it's a work in progress. And that's where, you know, this kind of talking about this whole myth of youngness and everything. I mean, I think the people who are having the best sex are usually in their 50s or 60s or even older.
Yeah, research confirms that. It actually, you begin to reach your sexual potential after you've been married over 30 years.
No kidding.
No kidding, man. How long?
Growth then, darn.
Good. Something to look forward to. And the other thing, John says something that I think is really helpful. He says the problem with pornography isn't that it shows too much, it's that it doesn't show enough. It doesn't show the heart, it doesn't show what's inside a woman.
Right.
And don't forget what's inside your wife. She's chosen to love you unconditionally, knowing who you are.
You can't imagine how this woman has stepped up and encouraged me and helped me and forgave me and been my guiding light, and she has loved me. She's really shown me really what real love is, and I didn't even know what that was until I actually opened my eyes, and God really opened my eyes too. So.
Yeah, because she doesn't need you to perform a certain
way.
No,
absolutely, and you know, that's exactly my thought. You know, any woman who's capable of that depth of unconditional love, she's not sitting there with a tally sheet in her hand or, you know, with a, you know, rating you as you go along. I mean, just surrender yourself to that relationship, and I just think that's wonderful, Wayne.
Well, I just recently started doing that, and, you know, when you're inappropriately exposed to pornography at 12, 13 years old, which we all are, almost every male I know has started looking at magazines, and I urge parents to make sure those kids don't have hidden magazines and explain to them how inappropriate that is. And, yeah, it's beauty. You know, women and men are beautiful, but not in... You got to explain that to them. You got to explain relationships and love and all that stuff. That
absolutely,
you know, no one teaches you that in high school. They're cheering the guys on, and you know, I mean, it's just.
I agree. That's one of my big pet peeves there, Wayne. I mean, I think talk about how in school we have all these campaigns to say no to drugs, say no to alcohol, but no one's saying, you know, say no to porn or internet chat rooms or, I mean, and I think you're right. A lot of kids are getting wrapped up. But I think, you know, I mean, I sometimes thank God literally that the internet wasn't around when I was a teenager, because I don't, you know, I just don't know where I would have gone with it.
And going,
oh, yeah.
You know, because it was so intrusive to me.
That's exactly right, and it is intrusive, but the fact is, I think God's going to bring a lot of healing to you, Wayne, and that'll be great.
And thank you so much for sharing your
story,
Wayne.
Yeah, really appreciate your courage tonight there, Wayne.
You're awesome. My wife and I listened to you. We just listened to Wayne last night, and you guys were gone. thanks. Glad you guys are there.
Okay.
Take care.
And for anybody else who'd like to call in tonight, this is Ask the Experts on Sex This Evening. You can reach us at 365-9930. That's 365-9930 or 888-5-ARC-EMS. That's 888-5-ARC-EMS. We'll be back in a moment. Thank you. Listen to what others are having to say about the emergency marital seminar offered by the Affair Recovery Center.
This EMS weekend was very meaningful for me, and I feel it moved us along in such a positive way. I truly see success and forgiveness in the future.
Thank you so much. I came here for my wife, but I left with my life.
It was incredible to see God intervene in our marriage in such a visible way. Miraculous doesn't even begin to describe it.
You made this so easy for us to follow and understand, so comfortable.
As you can tell from past participants, the Emergency Marital Seminar has had a profound impact on the couples who have attended. If your marriage is at a point of crisis, we would like to invite you to come join us March 30th, 31st, and April 1st to be a part of this life-changing event. We can be reached at area code 512-346-9299. Or you can go to our website at affairrecovery.com.
Hope. Hope for the brokenhearted. Hope for those who have made a mistake. Hope for those impacted by betrayal. Hope for couples who feel no hope. The Affair Recovery Center is designed to offer hope, direction, and help for couples and individuals whose lives have been ripped by infidelity. There is hope at the Affair Recovery Center. We can all personally testify to what God can do by what we have personally experienced. Let us help. We are a community of counseling professionals and couples who have experienced the abundant blessing of reconciliation and renewal. We are dedicated to the restoration of marriages crippled by infidelity. Our mission is to offer hope, support, and recovery for couples and individuals who have suffered pain as a result of infidelity, betrayal, or sexual addiction. We can be reached at affairrecovery.com or you can call toll-free at 888-527-2367. That's 888-527-2367.
Hi, my name is Pastor Michael Lewis from Great Hills Baptist Church. You're listening to The Word 99.3 and 98.5 teaching and talk for Austin and Central Texas.
Hi, I'm Rick Reynolds, and you're listening to Affair Recovery Radio. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the station, the management, or anybody else, however they might be. So we just want to make sure that you know that they could be. So just we've got that out there now. On the other hand, tonight we're talking about sex. And again, we would love to have some more calls this evening at 365-9930. That's 365-9930. You may think that you've got it all figured out, and you might. On the other hand, if you have, call in and express that opinion to us. Maybe you know something.
Yeah, if you have got it all figured out, please call, because we want to know.
You
know?
You could help us out this evening. But we just find that it's going to be, if you've got a question or you've got a comment, there's probably somebody else out there that shares the same sort of thing. So that's area code 512-365-9930. Or if you just want to email us, you can email us at rick@hope-now.com. Or you can call us if you're listening from out of state at 888-5-ARC-EMS. That's 888-5-ARC-EMS. And I think as we go into this next segment, John may talk a little bit about some of his life's lessons.
Well, yeah, well, something that Wayne had said sort of struck something in me. I mean, I get the question a lot about, you know, what do you do if you discover that your kids have been online? And we get that question all the time. And what I usually say is, you know, sexual curiosity is a very normal developmental kind of function of childhood. You know, we could, you know, some night we'll have to have a show on sort of the whole progression of what, how kids learn about sex and all that. But, you know, the fact that kids are interested in it, you know, that that just it's a very normal thing. And I think sometimes we have to be very, very careful, you know, kind of talking about how destructive shame can be, about not inadvertently as parents putting shame on our own children. You know, it can be a very shocking thing to discover that your children are online, or that they have that magazine hidden under the bed. But really encourage you, if that's the case, first of all, you know, your kids are not, you know, necessarily deviant and having all these problems. Again, there are very few kids who haven't been exposed to something, and the stats sort of back that up. But, you know, one of the things I'm most grateful for my own dad with is I grew up in Lubbock, Texas, and, you know, I, like a lot of the boys my age, happen to know the other boys whose fathers had the dirty magazines in the closet. And we actually knew of a convenience store we could go and buy the stuff. We had a guy who would sell it to us, you know, even when we were like in middle school, which, you know, it's unconscionable. But anyway, there was this dark day when my dad just sort of stumbled on my stash of magazines, and I had this brilliant hiding place. I just had them stuck in the cabinet right by my bed. But it actually turned out being probably one of the best things that ever happened to me, because my dad was very cool about it. He just sort of, you know, kind of sat me down and said, "I'm not angry with you. This is just, you know, this is why I have a problem with this. This is why, you know, what my concerns are." And he sat down and had a discussion with me about sort of what pornography did in terms of objectifying women and all that. And, you know, if I'm honest, at the time I still wanted to look at that stuff, but I came away with a whole different viewpoint. And he got rid of it all for me at that point. But, you know, just the fact that I was able to have that conversation with my dad ended up being a real gift to me, because this is, you know, even parents who are very good about talking to their kids about sex, it's really hard to just sort of kind of just break into a conversation about pornography and about lust and about, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, sometimes for the parent it can seem a lot more awkward than it can for the kid, but really encourage you guys to be talking to your kids about this stuff. And again, we'll probably have a show on that sometime about how to do that with your kids, but you know, it is out there. I think the internet, sometimes it's almost like, you know, if you took a stack of Playboys and put them on in every classroom, you know, most kids are at some point or another going to pick it up and look at it. And the internet's sort of that way. It's just, even kids who aren't pursuing it, it's pursuing them, and kids who are trying to do good things online, you know, are still going to stumble on the stuff. So, you know, it's out there, unfortunately.
And more females are using pornography. As many of you know, I conduct Harboring Hope groups for women who have been betrayed in their marriages. And just this past week, one lady admitted that, you know, early on in her marriage, that they used pornography, and now she had a lot of shame about that, particularly now that she's found out that her husband has a sexual addiction.
And I also just realized something, and I know this has nothing to do with sex, but it's one of my ADD moments.
Okay, you guys, hold on. There's no telling what it is.
You go, well, actually, it's pretty good. I just realized in the
Life with Rick can be interesting.
Well, it just, Next EMS actually was not in March. It actually is coming up in June. June 15th, 16th, and 17th, and it said March, and so I just hit me. And I don't know, it had nothing to do with sex, but except the EMS
weekend. I guess
maybe
it was connected to Wayne's phone call talking about EMS, right?
It may have been, and then I think that, you know, but John's point about the way his dad handled it, I just think that's masterful.
Well, and I really appreciate his dad handling it that way also. That was a gift to me, too. But, you know, talking to people from time to time, had somebody mentioned that because she enjoyed sex in her marriage, about a year and a half into her marriage, it came up in conversation with her husband that he thought because she enjoyed sex with him that she was really going out there enjoying sex with everybody. And that kind of relates to one of the myths that men enjoy sex, women don't. And I think a lot of times we think if women enjoy sex, then there are certain kind of women that we have labels for, and that's not true. In the beginning, God created the male and female in his image, both in his image. It's a gift for both men and women, not just men.
No, I agree. In fact, you know, anatomically, women have the unique distinction of boasting the only body part whose pure function, its only function, is for pleasure. You know, and that part is the clitoris. And that's, you know, sometimes when people tell me that women aren't supposed to enjoy sex, then I have to ask, you know, why were women created with this part? Why did God create them that way?
Yeah, and I think a lot of times as Christians, we tend to think spiritual good, sexual bad, spiritual good, even flesh bad, however we want to put it. But if that were so, then why in the world did the Savior of the universe, who was also God, come through the body of a woman, come in a body that was actually resurrected? And so a lot of times I'll ask people, you know, how do you integrate your sexuality and your spirituality? And they just look at me like I'm from a different planet, because I think a lot of times as Christians, we don't look at ourselves as sexual and spiritual at the same time, but God created us to be both.
Yeah, we've come a long way on that, but we still have a ways to go. I mean, 100 years ago, you know, coming out of Victorian England, they were still performing, you know, radical genital surgeries on women because they thought it was so deviant for women who enjoyed sex, and it was they just showered them with shame and performed all sorts of unnecessary surgical procedures because they thought it was such an abnormality.
Well, I'm not even sure it's just culture. We just got a question in from Sally, and Sally's saying that because she really enjoyed sex so much when she was with her husband, her husband thought that she was enjoying sex all the time elsewhere, and that if he wasn't with her. And so, John, what would you say about to this guy about, you know, well, because my wife likes sex so much, you know, she must be out there having sex all the time, you know?
I'd probably just want to sit him down and kind of explore his fears a little bit and kind of, you know, I think, you know, men and women, I mean, sometimes get some really dysfunctional messages about sexuality. And I think a lot of our dysfunctional messages are based out of fear. You know, just going back and you know, those of you who've been listening probably know how we feel about fear at the Affair Recovery Center. You know, that there's often, you know, it's not a good place to sort of take counsel from. And it's, you know, I think that's one of the more tragic kind of mistakes, because I think it really limits when a man limits his wife's sort of ability to appreciate sexuality, appreciate her own sexuality, he's actually sort of selling himself short in that process too, because, you know, she can't fully, you know, if he's kind of putting some limitations on her and what she's supposed to do sexually. You know, Rick very often talks about the difference between, you know, marital and non-marital sex. I know Leslie talks about this some too, that it's very possible to have non-marital sex in a marital relationship if one partner is really sort of using the other partner without any regard for their pleasure. Then it's really sort of glorified masturbation. It's not a real unitive kind of sexuality, which godly sexuality was intended to be. So, I mean, I would really encourage that individual to take the time to really get to know what his wife really enjoys and really give her the freedom to explore her sexuality within the relationship too.
Well, and a lot of times we're carrying labels around in our heads that have come from high school, college, whenever, that we're not even aware of. And it's interesting to me because there's not a male equivalent for the female reference slut, which, you know, is very, very interesting, because I think a lot of times we look at women who enjoy sex as sluts. Mm-hmm.
So would you say, and I've heard this before, that because the women in the pornography videos and magazines look so seductively and they're always looking like they want, you know, sex all the time, is that why men get this perception?
Yeah, that sort of drives. I mean, pornography ultimately is about power and domination. I mean, if you really look at the porn industry, I mean, there is a whole new sort of genre of porn that's being made by women for women, and that kind of raises some other issues. But a lot of the male-oriented pornography, yeah, you know, it's just about it's about making a man feel more of a man, and yeah, a lot of guys look at porn and that becomes their template for what sexuality is supposed to look like in their marriage. And in most, you know, most porn videos, you don't see people really concerned about the emotional welfare of the woman or anything. I mean, it really is sort of just using her for their own pleasure and arguably really dominating her.
Well, and I liked so much Wayne talking about the objectification, because I've had clients who are sex addicts or married to sex addicts, and when their wives come out in lingerie, their husbands have trouble with it, because it's like the women in the pornography, or the women that they're having affairs with, or one-night stands with are in one category, and their wife is in a different category. So some of their challenge is integrating my wife, the person I love, and being joined sexually with them.
And you're listening to Affair Recovery Radio, Radio to the Power of God. And tonight we're talking about sex and Ask the Expert. So we're just rambling amongst ourselves. If you guys have any questions, please give us a call. Area code 512-365-9930. And we'll take a short break. And again, I just want to mention that we do have an EMS coming up this next weekend, the 15th, 16th, and 17th. And we would love to have you guys join us. If you're in crisis, we'd like to be a part of your lives and help you find some healing. Give us a call, 365-9930. Thank you. Do you believe in modern-day miracles? I do. Because daily, I witness them as couples who are torn asunder by infidelity are reconciled. Hi, I'm Rick Reynolds, founder of the Affair Recovery Center. Please join us each Sunday evening from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time at Affair Recovery Radio, Radio to the Power of God, where we witness on an ongoing basis the miracles of God. We have seen and witnessed that there is nothing the nearness of God cannot heal.
Hi, my name is Evangelist Jackson. You're listening to The Word, 99.3 and 98.5. Teaching and talk for Austin and Central Texas.
Welcome back to Affair Recovery Radio, Radio to the Power of God. And tonight again, we're talking about sex and Ask the Experts. And we would certainly enjoy having you guys call us in. Again, we're at area code 512-365-9930. That's area code 512-365-9930. And we're in the last segment of the program here. So if you do have a question, now's a really good time to give us a call. I think we may actually have a caller on the line right now, or maybe they're asking us a question.
Well,
so.
And as we're waiting for the question, for those of you who have experienced infidelity in your marriage, and you may feel rather hopeless about the sexual condition of your marriage, and can things ever be okay again? Regardless of how your sexual relationship was before the infidelity, whether it was bad or good, over and over and over, we have seen couples come out on the other side where they are able to enjoy the kind of sexuality we're talking about, whereas man and wife, that you can be joined spiritually, emotionally, and sexually. So it is possible. With God, all things are possible. And right now you may be thinking, oh my gosh, how could I ever be vulnerable like that again with my mate? But with God, we've seen it over and over and over, and we've seen couples with better sexual relationships than they had before the infidelity.
Most definitely. And I think one thing, it's important to also point out that sometimes it can take some time to get back to that place because, you know, the men and women have very different arousal cycles. You know, men can tend to get ready to go just about any time. But again, sort of like I mentioned earlier, women have to generally feel safe and have some emotional safety invested in it before they're going to really be able to achieve full arousal. And when there's been some betrayal and when there's been some misuse of sex in the past, sometimes it takes some retraining and relearning so that it can slowly become safe again for them.
And oftentimes it takes a third person, a therapist. We have books that we recommend. Restoring the Pleasure by Penner and Penner is a really good
book.
For sexual reprogramming, because a lot of couples have to start over and learn to do it differently. But as they're able to talk about it, go through the program, learn to do it differently, I believe that they're able to enjoy what God meant when he created Adam and Eve in the beginning.
Yeah, the relearning it can be a lot of fun too. You know, I mean, I think getting it right and really doing it right, again, it's a process, you know?
Yeah, more than that, what I find is couples that have gone through some form of incredible crisis, what I call that great humiliation, often it's that event that begins to precipitate change in that relationship, where they're actually able to go to a much deeper level sexually between the two of them. That for a man who's used pornography, who's used fantasy, that is kind of the precipitant or the precipitating factor that helps him learn to just love his wife and to get free once and for all from all of this stuff.
Yeah, we've had a question call in. I guess the caller didn't want to stay on the line, but the question, as I understand it, is a question about sort of the role of self-gratification or masturbation in a relationship. I think this individual was saying that he was actually encouraged by a physician in order to reduce his blood pressure. And, you know, one of the things that we commonly say is that, you know, there's a lot of different theories on masturbation and a lot of different sort of takes on it, even theologically. I think you put 10 different Christians in a room and sometimes you'll get 10 different answers on the question itself. But one of our takes is that, you know, we're not concerned so much with the physical act of masturbation. We're more concerned with the fantasy that usually accompanies it. And for a man, it is very difficult to divorce their fantasy from the act. And that's where sort of spiritually it can be kind of a dangerous thing for a guy because, you know, we can get into sort of the neurochemistry of it, but men actually tend to, you know, can retain old images from pornography and things like that, and very often sort of the act of self-gratification can trigger some of those old intrusive images, and so what you're really replaying in your head is a porn video, not any kind of meaningful connection with somebody.
Well, and a lot of times I'll just ask the couple, you know, is the masturbation bringing you all together or tearing you apart? And there are other ways to reduce blood pressure.
Yeah, I think the thing that I learned about masturbation is I kind of thought I'd figured sex out by the time I was 11 or 12 and that it was actually about a great orgasm. And I actually kind of thought I'd invented something that was pretty incredible and that I could market it. And
if you could get the patent on that
one. Yeah,
I'd
get
a
patent. And it was a great discovery on my part, but I never got the Nobel Peace Prize. But the worst thing about that entire event for me was I thought I'd figured out sex by the time I was 12. And I had no idea of what sex was about. And masturbation to me really reinforces a wrong idea of what sex is about and really prohibits me from maturing and growing as a human being.
Right. And you know, and for those of you out there who, I mean, this is another one of those very common things. I mean, you know, shame often tells us, particularly sexual shame, tends to make us think that we're sort of the one unique original degenerate out there. You know, there's a lot of people who are doing these things. So I mean, if you're struggling with some of these things, we don't want you to feel any shame about that. This is a very common thing we're talking about here. And again, you know, there's a lot of different people weighing in with lots of different opinions on that, and it can be maddening. But you know, sort of spiritually, you know, we really want you to really look at that. Look at your motivation. Look at if it really is causing, you know, be honest with yourself about is this drawing you closer to a loving relationship with, you know, sort of modeling or reflecting that sort of divine communion?
Yeah, and is it drawing you closer to God? So there are a lot of different opinions out there about masturbation, and we would certainly disagree with some of the medical viewpoints.
Right, and I would add one more thing, that frequently women, it's also an issue for women, and that can even be more shameful, I think, at times for women,
yes,
how they deal with
And I really appreciate you adding that, Rick, because that's a myth that we missed. Because a lot of times people think male masturbation is normal and healthy, and female masturbation...
I mean, one of the things that's really interesting when you look at, sometimes we'll do sexual histories of early people... You know, some women aren't even encouraged to own their genitalia or even have comments to talk about them. So if they're experimenting with something like masturbation, then they really feel ashamed.
Because we believe that God wants you to have no shame connected to your sexuality, and that He wants ultimately for you to be able to integrate your spirituality and your sexuality and get the enemy out of it. So what would you say kind of as we're wrapping things up tonight, John?
Well, I mean, one of the things I think that had crossed my mind earlier that I really want to kind of put out there was, you know, how, I mean, it sounds almost cliche, but how important real communication is for good sexuality. I mean, again, we talked about sort of how couples can kind of fall into a routine, and you know, particularly with the wives who are just sort of feeling like they're doing their, you know, their quote unquote wifely duty by sort of showing up. But you know, work with a lot of couples who, you know, either the husband or the wife really wants to sort of, something may not really be working for them, or something may be making them feel not so good about themselves or anything, but they won't ever say anything about it to their spouses. Either they're scared to, or they feel like they don't have a right to, or anything like that. And good sex is about communication. I think, you know, part of growing closer to one another and really being able to get it right is being able to be just completely honest with one another, be really transparent, and sort of not be afraid to put those kinds of things out there and really let your partner know when it's not working.
Well, and I think another thing that's really helpful is to spiritually, prayerfully explore what kind of messages do I have in my head. Going back to the Penner and Penner book, it even has a sexual history in it. Because a lot of times, as I'm talking to clients, they'll say, well, I, you know, came from a really great family, and they talked about sex in a way that was really helpful. But when they sit down and really explore their own sexual history, they realize that there's more there that's hurtful than they realize.
Definitely, and I think that's part of what we do in therapy very often, is to really go back and see where some of those distortion points take place.
Because there's a lot of baggage, but there's a lot of good.
And we want to thank you guys for joining us tonight. We will come back to Ask the Experts on Sex again some evening. Remember, we do have an Affair Recovery Weekend coming up this weekend, the 15th, 16th, and 17th. Please feel free to come join us at AffairRecovery.com and see some of our new resources. I hope you guys have a great week. Thank you.